hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back in making his 12th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate. It's not only one of our all-time favorite guests, but one of our all-time favorite people on the planet. And that is SiriusXM radio host and TNT guest Hall of Famer Zig Fracassi. You can hear Zig hosting multiple shows there on SiriusXM NFL's channel, plus this week in college hockey. Zig is one of the great interviewers you'll ever hear anywhere on any sort of medium. We had the honor of inducting Zig as part of our 2015 Thursday Night Tailgate Guest Hall of Fame class. Bob and I are even more honored to call him a friend because a finer individual you are not going to find anywhere. And we are delighted he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Zig, how are you, my friend?
Hi, Zig.
Chris and Bob, I got to keep you on the payroll with all those flowery compliments. I love it. How you guys doing?
We're doing great,
Zig. Fantastic, Zig. How have you been this year?
It's been a challenge, needless to say, obviously, with everything going on with COVID. And, you know, in addition to my duties at SiriusXM Sports, I also, as you know, do the updates. And it seems as though, you know, every other story is, you know, this game has been postponed or canceled because of COVID-19 and all that. So it's really changed the way I think you kind of cover sports and everything like that. But it's been good, you know, to have hockey back, the NBA back, and, you know, you got to give the NFL full marks, guys, for, you know, trudging through this season. I had my doubts. Usually I'm an optimist thinking, you know, we're going to get through this, but then I'm thinking, you know what, if the infections keep rising, and especially in some of the hotbed areas, how they're going to get through this. But you got to give Roger Goodell and, of course, Demoris Smith and the NFLPA and the whole league, you know, 1,000% credit, if there's such a thing, of getting through this season. And now we've got two elite games on Sunday. So all in all, it's been one hell of a year, or as the Grateful Dead once sang, what a long, strange trip it's been. Believe me, it's been strange.
Yes, it has. Zig, we certainly want to get your thoughts on the conference championship games. Want to get to that in a little bit, but want to start off, I know you're a big Cowboys fan. Want to get your thoughts on what you saw from them without Dak, and then with Dak, you know, being a free agent, what are your thoughts? Where do they go from here?
Gosh, I hope they don't get any worse, Chris. Full disclosure, Mike Nolan, the embattled defensive coordinator, is a former co-host of mine, and I consider him a friend, and it just killed me to see, you know, what transpired down in Dallas. But, you know, I guess hindsight being 2020, you know, the question that needs to be asked is, why did they try to change the defense, especially with no training camp and no preseason to speak of? Now, as the season got better, their season went along, the defense seemed to get better, and they were actually creating turnovers like they hadn't in recent years. But the defense was just way too bad, and now hopefully Dan Quinn and his staff comes in and fixes things offensively. You know, you're hoping with Dak coming back fully healthy, is Zeke going to be motivated once again? If you have your Pro Bowl tackles coming back and Collins and, of course, Tyron Smith, and getting your O-line fixed and adding a couple of playmakers on defense. Hey, you know, the NFC East was up for grabs for the final day of the season. Had the Cowboys taken care of business, there was a chance they could have won the NFC East even with a record like they had. But I still think there are a couple of playmakers, especially on defense, away. Offensively, like I mentioned, you know, Dak comes back, and obviously they got a real good set of receivers. And with Blake Jarwin getting hurt, you know, Schultz, some of the younger tight ends were able to develop this year. So a good draft, maybe a couple free agents here and there. I can see the Cowboys being back in the mix this year in the NFC East.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, obviously, with the Steelers and the Cowboys playing each other this year, and the Steelers got lucky to get out of that game with a win. But, boy, I sure was impressed with Garrett Gilbert. He, fourth quarterback from out of nowhere, came into that game, and I thought presented himself pretty darn well. You got Dak's a free agent, so is Andy Dalton a free agent as well. To me, Garrett earned an opportunity to be a backup quarterback in this league. What were your thoughts on what you saw from him?
You know, you're right, Chris, and made me wonder, You know, obviously, Ben DiNucci, who was trying to do his Pat Mahomes impression on that Sunday night game, throwing sidearm balls all over. Like, who the hell is this guy, you know? So, I know, you know, because obviously there's the connection with McCarthy's brother from his basketball playing days at Pitt and all this. But, you know, I thought DiNucci was out of class in that game against the Eagles. And then they bring in Garrett Gilbert. And I got to tell you, you know, for a kid who hadn't played a whole lot, you know, he did have a pretty nice college career, you know. I mean, let's face it, he put up some good numbers at Texas Tech. He seemed to have poise in that game against the Steelers. You know, he had Amari Cooper, I think it was, with the touchdown. And, you know, they were within, you know, winning that game until the Steelers drove down in the final 2 minutes to, I thought, steal one there at Jerry World. So I'm not sure if Dalton comes back, just for the simple reason he might think he's still a starter in the National Football League. He may wind up going to a team as sort of a bridge keeper, you know, in case another team, you know, let's just say the Bears as an example, even though I don't think it's going to happen. But a team like that where they bring in a guy like Dalton and then they draft a quarterback where then obviously, you know, he's more like a place setter so the other guy can develop. So, but thing is, guys, if Andy kind of outprices himself and maybe at this point in his career he's a backup, you know, if they can get him for the same kind of money they did this past year, I could see Dallas keeping him around because I know he and Dak and Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, had a good rapport. But, you know, to your point on Garrett Gilbert, I you know, it was only one game sample size, but I've seen worse performances. I think he's earned a spot in the NFL, and if the Cowboys keep him as a third starter, if Dalton leaves, I think he does have a chance to be the backup. So to answer your question, Chris, I like what I saw in that game, even though Dallas lost to Pittsburgh.
Speaking of quarterbacks staying around, one of the things that Bob and I have been talking about over the last couple of weeks are obviously we saw Phillip Rivers retire this week. You know, is it time for my, like, Big Ben? To me, I think, you know, based on his cap number, I think the Steelers got to, you know, kind of do the same thing they did with Troy Polamalu. I think they got to tell Ben it's time. And then based on what we saw from Drew Brees in this past weekend's game against the Bucs, it kind of feels like it's time for Drew to walk away as well. What are your thoughts on Roethlisberger and Brees?
To Big Ben, you know, I mean, what is he, 38 years old now? And the fact that he had to throw the ball, you know, off a surgically repaired elbow over 500 times this year, that's not a recipe to win, I'm telling you. Although the Steelers were 11-0 at one point, and, you know, they ultimately did get into the playoffs, you got to wonder, you know, where the direction of that organization is. Obviously, you got a good young talent in Claypool as a receiver. Juju's a free agent. Does he want to stay around? You know, the running game needs to be fixed. There's no question about that. Pouncey, I didn't think looked all that good down the stretch. DeCastro had his issues, so the offensive line. So, and then you saw that sort of poignant thing on the sideline there where Pouncey came, you know, sat by Big Ben. He says, I feel more sick for you than myself because, you know, I did this because I want, you know, I wanted to win for you. So he's hinted at retirement in the past. And, you know, is at this point in time now in his life, is he, you know, wanting to be more of the husband, the family man, and, you know, he's earned his millions. It's not like he needs the money to play. So my hunch is if he does anything, he might play one more year. If not, then I think now might be the time to go out. And how appropriate would that be? He goes out with the guy that, you know, was drafted above him in that 2004 class, Phillip Rivers, who had a very, very good career. I'm not sure it's Hall of Fame career. He never got to a Super Bowl, and, you know, he put up some stats and everything like that, but I don't know. I see him as a Hall of Famer. Whereas Brees, yeah, I definitely think it's time. He's played through a multitude of injuries, especially this year. Was it a dozen fractured ribs and, you know, some other things? I think his wife even said he played foot and other injuries as well. He never had the strongest arm. It was a struggle for the Saints this year, and he's already got a broadcast gig lined up with NBC. So, you know, Marv Levy's one of his famous lines is, if you're thinking about retirement, you probably have. So it wouldn't shock me if either one calls it a career. And it's a loss for the NFL because with Big Ben, obviously, he restored Super Bowl glory, as did Breeze in New Orleans. And also, let's not forget what he did, you know, for that community post-Katrina. I mean, New Orleans was an absolute mess after Hurricane Katrina. He comes in, Sean Payton comes in. All of a sudden, they start to win. They won a Super Bowl. They've been consistent throughout. So not only did he do it on the field, but off the field in the New Orleans community, and after that little bit of a political thing earlier in the off season, that kind of blew over because I think he realized he hurt his teammates, and I think he became even more, how would you say, ingratiated with the teammates, including the African-American players. So I think from a societal standpoint, he contributed a lot too. So I could actually see both of them walking away from the game and, you know, probably both wind up in Canton in 5 years.
Bob, questions for Zig?
It's always an honor to speak with you, Zig, and happy new year to you and yours. And I always want to pop off your head some of the stuff going on here in the East. Now, New England, of course, Zig, here, things could not be worse for Patriot fans seeing Brady do what he did this year. Of course, Newton flopping here. What do you see as far as the near future quarterback? What kind of quarterback can come in here depending on the coordinator, Zig? And, you know, Belichick's future, if you have to look into a crystal ball, give us some thoughts of where that franchise is right now.
Bob, always good to be with you, my friend. And, yeah, you know, I mean, it was I was not surprised that departure came. I kept telling people, anybody that would listen, this is going to be it with Tom Brady in New England, because I think he saw the writing on the wall. He realized that he doesn't have many weapons to work with. I think maybe, too, this is the time of his career, even though he doesn't have anything to prove. He wanted to prove I can win without Belichick, and here he is going to his 14th championship game, his first with the Buccaneers. So, you know, I think it just goes to show Tom Brady, I think, could be great if, you know, if the three of us were blocking for him. So the guy could just flat out win. To the Patriots, and obviously Cam Newton, you know, I guess that move made sense at the time because I think it was one of those things where Bill wanted to prove he could win without Tom Brady, and I think Cam Newton wanted to prove that he could still play. Well, there were some instances where Cam could still play, but there were also instances where you could tell that the guys had it. You know, I mean, the injuries in terms of the feet, the arm, the shoulder and everything. Cam was never a great thrower to begin with, and I think that was just magnified as the season went on. So if I'm the Patriots, I guess I got to decide if McDaniels is going to be back, first of all. So if that's the case, do they keep the offense the same? They need huge upgrades, guys, everywhere, especially with receivers, because there are just absolutely no targets. And I think you got to bring in a quarterback to develop. I think ideally the guy you'd want to bring in or bring back is Garoppolo, but I don't know if Shanahan or John Lynch is going to trade him from San Francisco. So he would, to me, be the sort of ideal guy that you would want to look at. Now, like I mentioned earlier with Andy Dalton, would New England bring him in, for example, as a sort of placeholder and draft a quarterback and develop him? So I would guess that's an option. But I definitely think they have to draft one. And for Bill, you know, people knock him and all this, but I'll tell you, they were in a lot of these games this year with really, I think, a pretty lousy roster, to be honest with you. Let's not forget Hightower and, you know, what was it, Chung and some of those other guys, they opted out of the season. So they were already shorthanded. And then you magnify the injuries, but you look at it. I mean, the game against Seattle, they had that sucker won. If Cam doesn't fumble in the late stages in Buffalo, there's a chance they win that game. So, you know, a couple of breaks here and there. I thought the Patriots were largely competitive, you know, for the season. So does Belichick have that hunger and desire to keep going? I guess that remains to be seen. Or are they going to groom McDaniels to be Belichick's successor? I guess that's only going to be determined over time, too. And they really need to start hitting with that draft, because as good as Belichick is with the X's and O's, sometimes his player evaluations aren't that hot, Bob. So I would definitely look at, you know, the Patriots here And they're in definite transition. Still think they've got a window to be competitive, but it's clear, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they need some massive upgrades with some great playmakers and start spending some money, you know, or else they may be wallowing towards mediocrity here.
Zeke, I have many friends in this area who are New York Jets fans, and they surely didn't wait too long to get their new coach, Robert Saleh. And, you know, he's a defensive guy. Now they're going in a 360 from a guy like Adam Gase. Zeke, and, you know, we know that they were historically bad this past season, and they just need so much to happen here. But what do you think about the coaching choice, a defensive kind of guy, and where do they go from here?
Great question. Saleh, you know, obviously comes across as this energetic sort, you know, a really good defensive mind, because I thought even, you know, during this year, San Francisco played pretty hard on that side of the ball, even with all the injuries. I mean, you talk about a team just besieged by them. You know, the 49ers just had so many, which is why that was part and parcel why they couldn't retain their NFC championship. So he's also a first-time guy, too. So I think there's sort of that intrigue. You know, maybe he's not all that much older than some of his players. You know, the Jets have some major decisions. I guess what now? Woody Johnson is coming back from England, so he's going to own the team once again. They got some decisions they need to make. And I guess the biggest one, obviously, is Sam Darnold. I mean, here's a guy they drafted third overall, and some would say, well, maybe he's just not going to be the franchise guy. There were instances this year where I saw some, you know, bright spots out of him, but there are also some instances where, you know, you could tell that he was frustrated. You could tell that obviously not having enough playmakers maybe was starting to get to him a little bit. So they really have to decide. Even Saleh talked about it in his opening press conference today. That's a discussion in terms of with Joe Douglas, the GM of the team, whether they want to keep Sam Darnold or do you, you know, somehow use him as a package. I know there's some rumors floating around that, you know, they're supposedly on the Deshaun Watson bandwagon in Houston. Well, if you're going to start making trades like that, you would have to start at the absolute minimum with Darnold and the number two overall pick and then other considerations just to even get Houston to go to the table on that one. So to me, guys, the big thing with the Jets and also an upgrade on, you know, their offensive personnel too, because the Bell signing didn't work out for them, you know, and Robbie Anderson left, had a productive year in Charlotte, so their receivers aren't very good. But you got to decide, where am I going with this quarterback? Is it Darnold, who we drafted third overall, or do we wipe the slate clean with him? And, you know, if Jacksonville doesn't take Trevor Lawrence, do they go then with Fields from Ohio State? You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So the Jets have a big time decision with what they're going to do. And again, that all comes back to the quarterback.
Zig, before we let you go, we got to get your picks for the conference championship games this weekend. Who do you like and why?
Oh, boy. Gosh, I'd love to see the Bills get in because, you know, being from that area, obviously it's been over a quarter century since, you know, they've really been this relevant. But, man, if Mahomes is going to play and Kansas City beat them the first time, and they're just so tough to beat at Arrowhead Stadium. So I probably have a slight lean on the Chiefs, probably by, you know, 4 to 7 points. And the other game, wow. Wouldn't that be something if Tom Brady is able to pull this off in Lambeau? But, you know, you got to think Green Bay, he's got revenge on their mind from that blowout that they had against the Bucks. First time Rodgers is at home in the NFC championship game. Green Bay, arguably the best team in the NFC all year long. So let's have a rematch of Super Bowl I, huh? The Kansas City
wow.
Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers.
Zig, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can hear you on SiriusXM and then follow you on social media as well.
Appreciate it, Chris and Bob. At Zig Fracassi, ZigFracassi, and also see my rambling on my Boston Bruins tweets, too. So I do love hockey as well. Let's see, this weekend I'll be on Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern with former Patriot quarterbacks there, Bob. Matt Castle has been a regular co-host of mine throughout the season. So Matt and I will break break down the conference championships. And then Sunday, after the Bills and the Chiefs, after the Westwood One coverage, former Tennessee Titan Houston Oilers great Brad Hopkins joins me for NFL Rewind till 1 a.m. Eastern. We'll analyze both championship games and also look ahead to Super Bowl number 55. So 5 to 8 Eastern Saturday, after the Bills-Chiefs Sunday till 1 a.m. Eastern time.
Ziggs, you're fantastic, my friend. We can't thank you enough for being patient with us tonight and coming back and be a part of the show. We always have a great time when you join us.
Well, Chris and Bob, like I've said throughout the years, it's been an honor to be among the guests, and also a really special honor to be in the Hall of Fame that you have. And also, like I said before, and I'll say it again, keep the names of the yesteryear greats that maybe weren't the biggest names in the NFL. The fact that you guys have them on and keep them relevant in some of their stories, absolutely job well done on your part, too.
We can't thank you enough for that. Zig, take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Talk soon, Zig.
All right, Chris. All right, Bob. Thank you.
Take care now.
See you, Zig.
Bye.
That's the great Zig Fracassi. Again, like you said, on Twitter, at Zig Fracassi, ZigFracassi. That's how you can keep up to date with all the great things he's doing. We've got our next guest, Bo Bach, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Bo right on the other side of this real quick station break.